All right, we are back. New episode time. Episode 9, Dr. Octopus. I'm Ren Azuo here with my fellow lore keeper, Tom Sweeney. How you doing,
hey,
bud?
How's it going? I'm pretty good. Doing pretty good. I'm excited. I'm about to go see, No Way Home. So I'm really, really, really amped to talk about Doc Ock.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to get this one in before the movie. It's not a super scripted thing. We're just going to be talking about Doc Ock. We'll probably have some appreciation here for Spider-Man 2 and some speculation for things to come. But we'll try to. Okay, so when we did Spider-Man, I know we stuck only to 616 Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this time for Doc Ock, we don't necessarily have to do that because it's not like he is, you know, every issue of his own comic. We could probably talk mm-hmm. about some of the other ones specifically because, you know, Spider-Man 2 and Alfred Molina and stuff like that. So we've actually got a lot of questions for Doc Ock stuff, too, that I'll grab in a little bit towards the end here. And we'll get through those because we actually got some pretty good ones. But anyway, yeah. So, Dr. Octopus, guy with four arms that are metal.
Yep. A guy with eight limbs calls himself Octopus.
Yeah. Hilarious. Now, it confused me when I was a kid, actually, because I was like, but octopuses have eight arms, because I was only counting the mechanical ones. You know what I mean?
I understand that. That's what a lot of people thought.
And I think that there's a version of him. I want to say it's probably
It's during Dan Slott's run. He gets really sick because of all the radiation being exposed because he's wearing his arms of carbonanium.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually gets more cocooned, like his arms and stuff stop working. And he actually has eight arms proper.
Oh, wow. So wait, so the material of his arms, is it radioactive? Is that something?
Yeah, carbonadium. It's like a poor man's vibranium. And it slows down healing factors, but it also like erodes people and like radiates. It's like really not good. It's the same thing that it's the same thing that one of Deadpool's swords is made of, the same that Omega Red's tentacles are made of as well.
Mm.
So it's like those things that are used. They like slow down healing factors, and for humans, it kind of just kills them.
Yeah. I think the ultimate one also has extra arms too, if I'm not mistaken.
The ultimate one, he gets them bound to his body. I know a lot about Doc Ock. I know a metric fuck ton about Doc Ock because of unlike most people, like I fall into the older generation where I knew a lot about, not a lot, but I knew a decent amount about comic books well before the movies came out. Like I'm a kid that was more comic based. So like when people say like, oh, Doc Ock's best performance is by Toby, as in like Doc Ock in the comics is lame compared to Doc Ock in the movies. I'm kind of like, not exactly, because I just know about the characters before the movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone that gets my fandom from the movies, you know? That's why I've always kind of had a problem where everybody loves Toby so much. And I'm like, Toby was fine. I think he's cool. You know, yeah. I respect him for who he was. You know, I loved seeing him as Spider-Man. But I'm not like, oh my God, Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man ever. Because I'm kind of like, he's fine.
I feel like Tobey Maguire's run is actually carried entirely by its villains. So by the time you get to Spider-Man 3, it starts to break down because the villains aren't as well done in Spider-Man 3.
I love Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
He's not bad. But he's definitely better than Venom.
I adore him so much. I think the scene where he's putting himself together is such a powerful scene.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting character because he's not... One of the things I liked about Sandman, and this is kind of, you know, off in left field, is that there are certain villains of Spider-Man's that are like, you know, we're out to fuck shit up. We're up to kill people. We're, you know, we'll kill everyone who gets in our way. Sandman, for most of his existence in terms of, like, you know, as a character, has been a dude who's, like, a thief, but he doesn't want to kill anybody. You know what I mean? Like, he'll get pushed too far sometimes, but he never sets out to be like, yo, I'm gonna take this dude out, you know? Like,
I think that's where the difference between DC villains and Marvel villains come from, because mm-hmm. the vast majority of Marvel villains, even it goes far to say, even like Green Goblin, who's a dick, he sucks, but he is not like, they're not evil, like in the sense that like they're just like, I think of like, when I think of evil villains, I instantly think of Joker and I think of Carnage. Those are two people that are evil. They mm-hmm. are out to do bad things. They're not like trying to make money, you know. They're not trying to secure and do better for the city like Wilson Fisk or like Penguin, you know. They're not trying to get their own like sort of like jaded form of justice, in a sense that there's people like Harvey Dent, Two-Face. But when it comes to every Marvel heroes, but villain, particularly in Spider-Man's case, you know, they all have like a problem, or like they're forced into bad situations. Because mm-hmm. like Norman Osborn as a person isn't quite that evil. He's a corporate mega person, so he's like, I'm rich and I'm powerful and I want things to happen my way because I'm, you know, I'm a rich man. Mm-hmm. But he also loves his family and he kind of respects Peter. It is just that he has multiple personality disorder, so the Goblin's batshit crazy. He doesn't give a damn what he does.
Yeah, even Otto, his the accident that fused I guess you'd call it like a harness, his mechanical harness there, that fused that to his body. His brain was literally rewired when that happened to be able to handle handling all, you know, controlling these extra arms, because that's a lot for a human brain to do, you know. That's four extra limbs. And I've read it where it's like he has some sort of latent mutation, or it was the radiation, or he went crazy, but whatever it was, the accident itself, which was an accident, changed him, and then he turns into this, you know, this villain, you know. But before that, Otto was not a bad dude.
Even when it comes to villainous natures, like, because I remember I've read a bit, like a bunch of like the mini stories about Dr. Octopus, mm-hmm. and he's another person of like circumstance where like he had an abusive father, and his mother was all he had, and his mother started dating someone and kind of neglecting him, and he's someone who his whole life he's had to prove himself. Mm-hmm. That's his character. And the thing is that his intelligence is something he doesn't have to prove to anybody. He's just smart, you know? And at that moment, similar to the video game, which in the video game did it perfectly, and the movie, and in the comics, he's arrogant. So he always takes these steps that are relatively dangerous, but he's so smart, he doesn't believe anything will go wrong because of how more intelligent he is to people. So mm-hmm. he goes and he does that, and then he gets, you know, things get bad. And then after the point where he gets involved with the tentacles, his inhibitions and sort of his ability to kind of stop from doing things that are relatively dangerous leave, because he's so consumed by the idea that he needs to prove that he's the smartest man ever. That's what he's thinking about him and Spider-Man. Often him and Spider-Man get into fights and he's amazed by how smart Peter is, and there's points where Peter has proven that he's actually a more intelligent person than Otto.
Yeah.
And that makes him furious. And he's like, how is this random fucking guy that was 15 years old while I was fighting him smarter than me? Like, how does he have the time to be more intelligent than I am?
Yeah. I remember, because I really liked the version of him in Ultimate, but some of the way he was in Ultimate didn't ring quite true, because he didn't have any... At no point does he develop any sort of respect for Spider-Man's intelligence the way
I hate Ultimate Octopus. I think he's kind of just more of an asshole than regular Otto is.
Yeah,
and that kind of for me makes me like, I don't really like this guy that much.
The Ultimate Universe is always like a little more edgy than everything else, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always just slightly, you know, oh, we gotta push this up a notch. And some of the traits that they will pick for certain characters when they're kind of retooling them aren't necessarily the traits that you want to see. But I liked his look. I liked the way he was in some of the battles and stuff. And I liked that reveal at the end where it's like it wasn't him controlling the arms, he was controlling the metal in the arms. And then he's like a budget Magneto, like the
Yeah, a
Wish version of
technopath, both to a
Magneto.
degree, yeah. Being a technopath, and I was just like, oh, that's really cool. I really like my favorite him so far is the one from the comic, the video game. I think the video game did him excellently, other than when you go into Dan Slott's run, where he's like written to be Superior Spider-Man. I love Superior Spider-Man. A lot of people hate Superior Spider-Man. I adore him. I think he's such a cool character. I think it goes on too long. Yes, I agree. But.
We got some of these questions actually specifically talking about Superior Spider-Man. I wonder if some people are
Well, I
aware.
fear him. I'm excited.
Yeah, I aware. I'm wondering if they're aware that I don't like Superior Spider-Man. I think we might have mentioned that in a previous episode, but I don't have quite the visceral hatred for it that some people do. Like I don't like it. I don't necessarily like Dan Slott, so I might have a bias there. But yeah, I mean,
I can agree that Slott's run went too long. I
yeah.
would never deny that. I get when people are like, God damn, fucking Slott-O-Slocktavious. But I'm like, it was like, I don't know. Like,
How long was it? How
it
many?
was like nearly 10 years, dude. It was like
Whoa.
from like, it was like Mark Waid and them all finished the Spider-Man run in Brand New Day, I think issue like maybe like six, like five something. And Dan Slott's run ended after 2017 it ended.
And how long, how much of that was Superior Spider-Man?
Superior Spider-Man's was, I would give Superior Spider-Man maybe a year or two. It was Superior. It was from issues, because Peter came back in issue 700 or 600, I think. No, seven. He came back issue 700. 600 was big time. That was the beginning of big time. So 700 is when he came back. And I remember that being like a really, really, really big moment. Because I remember me and my uncle went, like, Peter Parker's back as Spider-Man. And like, everyone in the bookstore was happy. They were like, yeah, he's finally back. I'm so excited to see him back. And I was kind of like, ah, really? My uncle was like, what do you mean, oh, really? And I was like, I liked Otto. And they thought I was stupid. They all thought I was an idiot. Everybody with the store was like, oh, this kid's dumb. Punch him in the face.
Man, I'm scrolling through some of his stuff, and there's so many like parts where it's like, oh yeah, and this is when he dies. Oh, and this is also when he dies. Oh, and then he died here. And I'm like, man, he's got to be one of the villains that it like rivals Osborn on how many times
He's a roach.
he's died
He
and come
does
back.
not stay dead.
Yeah, it's wild. I also saw this other thing too. I completely forgot this was a thing, but for a while, Otto had
Arachnophobia?
arachnophobia.
I don't remember that. That was probably before me.
So yeah, this is an older one. So basically, what happens is he nearly fatally beats Black Cat, and this is when Peter and Felicia Hardy are kind of involved, but as Black Cat and Spider-Man, because Felicia Hardy's not really into Peter, but she's got this weird thing, and he nearly kills her, and Spider-Man goes off the rails a bit and nearly beats Otto to death. And as a result, Otto develops arachnophobia from it.
That's so silly.
That's
That's so silly. That's definitely
wild.
80s writing. Was that in the 80s?
It's gotta be. It's gotta be.
That's definitely 80s Spider-Man writing where I'm just like, this is so dumb. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those older ones, 'cause there like you're right, there's a definite kind of like flavor to certain eras of Spider-Man. And
Definitely.
in the
Okay.
80s they were throwing in all kinds of like, armchair psychology shit where they're just like, "Well, we don't really understand how this works, but it sounds cool and we can use it." And so everyone develops like a certain degree of insanity or psychosis or something like that.
Yeah,
And
it was the site. Everybody got some level of, like, develop some level of psychosis, and then in the 90s, everyone got like super jacked and like edgy. I remember that being like, I remember being the only person that was just like, "That's stupid, isn't it?" And my uncles and stuff being like, because my close uncle to me was like really into comic books. He like fucking loved them, and he was just like, "This is like, that's not cool to you, King." And I was like, "No, this is dumb." But
Yeah, for a long time, when they had Spider-Man jacked, I was not feeling it. I was like, no, he's got to be like thin and wiry. And making everybody jacked just did not make any sense to me. You know what I mean?
I loved Jack freaking, what you call it, Spider-Man from the cartoon, though.
Yeah,
Like, I
he's
know
just
it's
so
silly. I
big.
know. I get it. Everyone's like, that's so stupid. And I'm like, guys, I know. But look at how cool he looks. Look at how extraordinarily wide he is.
Like, he's just got these crazy broad shoulders and stuff like that.
His shoulders were broad. His freaking face was like he looked like he looked like he just simply ate too much protein. And I loved that. I was like, this is my favorite thing about comic books, you know? But for Peter's character, I think not for Peter, for Otto's character, I think he's very, very, very understandable. And you kind of always like I root for him. I always root for Peter, for Otto Octavius. Even though he's like an asshole, he's like a really kind of pompous jerk who like is very rude and like not the most understanding guy. I really, really, really like his character, and I always have, honestly.
Now Otto's the one who starts the Sinister Six, right? Like, he's the dude
I think he's the one that initiates
that
it this
like
time.
comes up with the idea of like, hey, we haven't been able to take him out, but maybe all of us can. So yeah, I think he's, as a character, he stands out as a leader, like an intelligent leader.
Most definitely.
And I think, because I'm like I said, I wasn't really big on Superior Spider-Man, but I think during that run, after Otto kind of mysteriously disappears, isn't there like a power vacuum that's left? And a lot of his villains, like from come out the woodwork, trying to get that like claim his mantle as like the leader of the Sinister Six. I seem to remember that being a thing that happened.
For me, what I remember mostly is that after everything goes wrong with the Otto Octavius, like after Peter and Otto switch, so this is like the moment where Otto Octavius just takes Peter's body. Everyone notices that how much more fucking brutal Otto was. Otto is like way not Peter Parker. So like he knocks Scorpion's jaw off his face.
Yeah, I
He
remember that. Just punches his
fight.
jaw
Yeah,
off.
like punches it clean off. And the thing is that people always thought, because like Scorpion, technically, by technicality, is stronger physically than Spider-Man is. But if you punch someone in the jaw, your jaw can only be so strong, you know? So
Yeah, it's on a hinge. It's on like a
like
little hinge.
one of us with a perfect shot, if we mean it, could knock someone's jaw off, you know? So Peter just goes straight for the jaw, knocks his jaw off. He fights the Avengers, and there's a moment where like this is one of my favorite moments ever, because it gives like really good props to Spider-Man's powers. And that's what I think the biggest thing that Dan Slott did. Dan Slott really let us know what Spider-Man could do. He gave us a very good idea without taking him too far. There was a moment where he starts you know what the carrion virus is, right? All the way back from like the Jackal and stuff. So if people that don't know, the carrion virus is a virus that's sort of sentient, that jumps from person to person to person. So Otto Octavius in Peter's Parker's body takes notice to it, and he goes throughout the Cure community just fighting people. He first he attacks Daredevil. Daredevil's like, "What's going on?" Pete beats Daredevil up. Daredevil's like, "What the fuck?" Then he attacks Luke Cage and Shang-Chi. Now Luke Cage and Danny Rand. He beats Luke up. Luke is like, because Luke is not trying to fight him. Everybody's his friend. He starts to try to fight Iron Fist. Iron Fist starts putting his hands on him. He leaves, and then he realizes that the Carrion virus is on one of the Avengers. Now this is during Jonathan Hickman's time at the Avengers, where it's in Hyperion, who's pretty much just Superman.
Yeah, Hyperion's fucking ridiculous. You could
He
do
is Hyperion's dangerous. He's a dangerous. I think what is it, Barry Milton? I think Milton Barry Milton. I think his name is. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's a carrion virus in Hyperion would be insane
It's bad.
because he's
It's like
already crazy, you know?
end of days bad. Like Hyperion is. Think of Hyperion and Thor. I don't know who would beat each other if they were trying their hardest to kill one another. I
I
have no clue. I have no clue who's beating another person.
a few years back, I would have said Hyperion, but Thor has come like a long way in terms of his power and his capability.
They made him no longer just the strong guy that gets beat up, because that's what he was for a
Yeah.
little bit. Thor was like, "Oh, this is how you know someone's strong. They beat up Thor." And it's like, but Thor keeps getting fucked up like
Yeah.
every other comic. He gets beat up, you
So is
know?
he really a benchmark at that point? I don't know.
No, that's when Donny Cates got him and made him a benchmark again. Because
Yeah.
he made Thor so strong that he's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like if there was and this is a little tangent I'm gonna go on, but there was a time where people thought that what's his name? His best friend, Beta Ray Bill, was equal to or stronger than Thor. And in the recent comics, Thor was a Herald of Galactus, and he was like, "You know what?" He turned off his herald power. He put down his hammer, and he was like, "I'm going to show you who I am and why I am a god." And he beats the living shit out of Beta Ray Bill. He takes his hammer, he just beats him down. And it's
Damn.
like, "Oh, damn, dude." Meanwhile, Beta Ray Bill's strong enough to like pull planets when he flies around, and Thor just busts a fat one in his eyes. It's really bad. It's really bad.
Just like hold still, hold still.
Like he beats him up, he picks him up by his little horsey chin, blops on his face, then throws him down.
Oh man, and Hyperion is like in that
On that
same,
level.
he's on
He's on that
that
level,
same
dude.
level, because like in Exiles,
Yes, King
oh man,
Hyperion.
yeah, he's there's like a whole story arc just dealing with his fuckery, you know? And that's one, and there's multiple Hyperions because of
Multiple
multiverse shit,
realities,
you
yeah.
know? So,
The
man.
one we get, luckily, is a good guy. He's a very good dude. He's literally like Superman. So, like, most of you guys out there probably not gonna love him. I adored him instantly because I love Superman's good and endearing nature.
Yeah, so
It gives
you
me
said
faith for people.
that Doc Ock figures out the carrion virus is on Hyperion.
Yeah. So he attacks Hyperion. Meanwhile, Doc Ock attacking Hyperion is like a fucking Chihuahua attacking a pit bull.
Yeah.
It's just like what? I notice you're hitting me. But then they stop him, and it's Hulk and Thor holding on to Spider-Man. And Spider-Man gets so mad, he yells. He's like, "You guys have no clue what you're talking about." And like Dr. Octavius is like really pump his voice. And then Hulk and Thor are looking at him like, "Yo, did you feel him budge?" Like, yeah, he budged. They're like, "Whoa, that's crazy." To them, it's like they're not caring, because like, Hulk could probably Thor could probably smack Spider-Man, he'd die. But
Yeah.
like he was like, "Oh shit, you actually budged." They were like impressed. And that was like a really good moment. Because there's another moment during Superior where I think it's Superior, I'm not exactly sure, where he gets the Venom symbiote because he takes it from Flash Thompson, and he puts it on, and he starts beating up the Avengers. And he's not really like they're not trying to stop him like they'd be trying to stop Thanos if he came to Earth, like not going all out. But like he takes Cap's shields, throws it at Thor, throws Black Widow into a building, starts beating up on Captain America, and they're all like, "What the hell?" And a Doc Ock shows that Peter, without any restraints, is dangerous.
Yeah.
if he just ran around without like wondering, like, hey, I can't go too hard on people, you know, because people can get hurt. He also killed somebody as Spider-Man as well.
Oh, damn.
There's this guy, I forgot his name. I can probably pull the comic up right now if I get to it. What's that?
So the as the superior stuff, you were saying that it did go on too long, and I think that's probably the main issue that I had with it. It isn't necessarily that it happened, you know, that there was this body swap thing. I think the thing that I took issue with is that it went for so long without enough people noticing. And some people get sort of an inkling, you know, but they don't, like, with the sheer number of people who have different ways of discovering these things just by being in the same room as someone whose consciousness has been suppressed, they should have been able to pick up on that. It shouldn't have necessarily taken, like, one of these great acts of violence to be like, oh man, he's kind of acting a little different, because there's a bunch of things. There's a bunch of people who should have just known, you know?
I think the idea of people finding out he was superior Spider-Man was like, people didn't figure it out. And I understand that, like, you know, like, there's a level of making sense that things should be, that things are for us in a real world and things aren't for other people in other worlds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you ever read the freaking Icewind Dale books, there's a moment where people realize that Dritz is possessed, and they know instantly, because, like, oh, Dritz doesn't act like that. But that's a level of, like, that's, how do I explain it? That just takes away from storytelling, you know? Like, they found out he was acting weird. They even gave him a scan where they did a neural scan on him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, okay, here's a neural scan. And everybody wasn't exactly paying attention to it, except for Black Widow. And Black Widow was like, something seems funny here, and she didn't know. And before she could fix it, Ock got involved in it, because Ock also himself is a genius, and Spider-Man is very secretive already.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, I do think the run ran on too long, in the sense that it was just too long.
The one that got me. So, I mean, we could put the telepaths aside. We could put Daredevil aside. We could put all this other stuff. But the person who should have known, I feel like, almost instantly, like what you were saying, or just after a little exchange, should have been Kane.
I don't think Kane would have known, because the last time they interacted, it wasn't a good interaction between the two of them.
Yeah, but the way that Otto regards Kane and the way that Peter regards Kane are very different, because Otto loathes Kane, because Kane is responsible for Otto being killed, you know, quote unquote, one of those times. So he can't stand him. And at the time that he kind of turns on him like that, Peter had been sort of helping Kane get his redemption. You know, I think it was after, what was it, Spider Island or one of those? And he's helping.
It was after. That is true. I think somebody should have figured it out a little sooner. But the thing is that, because I know Kane helps him Spider Island. Kane helps kill the Spider Queen. And then he's like, all right, man, I'll see you soon. And Kane leaves with the red and black suit.
Yeah. And I think that them being like, oh yeah, Kane doesn't catch on. He's like, oh yeah, I knew it. Peter hates me. Now I'm gonna leave and go to fucking Austin, Texas. You know,
which I loved that run. That was so cool. It's amazing.
It's a cool comic for sure. Like if they had come up with a different reason for him to go to Austin, Texas, that would have been great. But I think it would have been cool if Kane knew. He was like, nah, man, this ain't fucking Peter Parker. But because he's a former villain, everybody's like, dude, shut up. Like, we're not listening to you about Spider-Man, you know? And maybe that would be why he left.
Kane doesn't. I think the person that would have found out, if anyone, like, if they had him there, Ben would have found out. It would have been the person that Ben Reilly would have been like, yo, nope, that's not right.
Yeah.
Because Ben Reilly is essentially the same kind of guy as Peter. He's probably a little more jaded because he's died like 15 times. But he'd be the person to be like, all right, cool. I think even when it comes to Kane is just like, Kane's been through so much BS already, and he's kind of just like, all right, I'm gonna take a step back. And like, because I've kind of fucked up a lot. I've tried to kill Peter like maybe 8 times ever. So he kind of takes a moment back. And because he meets Miguel O'Hara. Miguel has no clue. He's like, what the fuck's going on? He meets the Avengers. And this is when the Avengers know he's Peter. Like, they know who Peter Parker is. They know he's like the Spider. They're kind of like, what the hell's going on? But they're like, you know, like everyone has too much stuff on their plate to stop and be like, wait a second. Peter's acting real funny. Because even MJ and freaking Aunt May didn't notice. They were just like, oh my God, Peter's taking initiative finally. And they were kind of happy at how much more he was getting done with his mind. He went back to school and he got his doctorate. He started opening a business. You know, he started taking like proper steps to becoming a good
After
person.
he goes back to being Peter, does he keep that company or does it go like immediately under because he's
He
Peter?
keeps it. He keeps it for a while, and things are going great. But what happens is that the company gets kind of sabotaged because Doc Ock backed up his consciousness in a robot because of comics.
Of
So he
course.
backed up his consciousness in a robot, and then after that, he returns as during this the whole Secret Empire time. He returns as Superior Octopus, and him and Peter go at it, and he destroys the company. He like Peter, so Doc Ock can't use the company to help out Hydra. He kind of just like burns the whole company down, and it makes a lot of people lose their jobs and the security and like money involved in the company.
Damn, that's rough.
It's really sad. It's really fucked. But he had to, because imagine, because Parker Industry was like kind of getting up there in like the same ballpark as like Stark. Stark's like freaking and Stark Resilient and stuff like that. So could you imagine if that Hydra had that kind of backing behind them? He was like, I have to do this. So,
Great power and all that.
you know, like Spider-Man always, things always bite him in the ass, you know. But for me, what I love the most about that run is that it was just different kinds of stories with Peter Parker. That's what made me happy, because I firmly think that Peter Parker as a character needs to be retired.
Yeah, it was, and that's kind of like why I've kind of softened my opinion on Superior Spider-Man, because I feel like you've made a very good case in the past of conversations we've had where you're like, we've told most of the stories that we can with Peter, and Superior Spider-Man was like going into stories that you couldn't necessarily tell with Peter, but you do want to tell with a Spider-Man, And so it was a way to kind of depart from that, still have Spider-Man, still have a familiar face, but it not, there be different motivations.
Yeah, and I loved it. I love the idea of that. I love the freedom given to I just understand, like, as a comic book fan, as someone who does like a little bit amateur writing, I'm by no means a writer myself. I'm not gonna say that. I'm not a writer, I'm not a movie maker, you know. So when I would criticize these things, you know, guys, take it with a grain of salt, because I'm not Raimi, you know. I'm not fucking Slott. I'm not fucking Hickman. I'm not freaking Quesada, even though Quesada sucks, you know. Like, I'm not these guys, but I understand. I think I have an understanding of like when you let people have free reins and truly create things that they think is cool as comic book writers and fans, it makes the best stuff. And I think for Spider-Man in particular, they don't let him do anything other than like young, struggling, sleeps with girls, but like everything goes wrong. And it's like, I get it, you know? That's why, like, for me, when I people don't like Miles Morales, right? People have a lot of people. So, like, some people say Miles has no character for his own. And I'm like, you guys can't see that Miles is more like Peter Parker from the main universe than Peter is from the Ultimate Universe. Because Miles is a regular kid that was like, yo, this is insane. I can't do this. I'm a child. I'm 13. I can't freaking fight bad guys, you know? I can't attempt to lead the team of the Young Ultimates. I don't want to get involved in this war. And I think I like Miles because of that, because of the idea he's like, he's more of the balance where he's someone that he sees Spider-Man as the hero that Peter saw Captain America as.
Like
So
he looked up to him,
he tried his hardest to do everything that Peter would do, but then he goes back home and he has a family full of like secret agent. His dad was a criminal for a period of time. His mom is just trying to make ends meet. His uncle is like a properly like bad guy that like excuse me, puts out hits on people and like kills people, you know? And Miles is trying to balance all of that while himself being a hero.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first two questions that we had, I think we've pretty much covered because we had two different people who were asking like, oh, you know, what do you think of the Superior Spider-Man run? And it really comes down to Sween loves it. I don't, but he's made a very good argument for it in the times that we've talked where I don't hate it the way that I did before. And I think that's probably one of the best victories anyone could ask for.
For me, I'm very open to change when it comes to characters, you know, as long as it's not unnecessary. Like if you make a character, like for instance, female Thor, another thing that people hate, dude. People just don't like the idea of Thor, that Jane Foster was Thor. I love the idea because what it did was it gave me different Thor stories. And I think
I
that, I mean, Aaron
remember.
had the ability to be able to do whatever he wanted. He just wrote whatever the fuck he wanted for female Thor,
I
and they
remember
weren't
people
up his
went
ass.
fucking bananas about that. They're like, oh, look at all this PC woke crap. And I'm just like, oh, come on, man. Just like maybe read the comics, you know,
No
instead of
one read
like,
him. No one read him. That was an amazing run. It was literally fantastic. Jane Foster dying of cancer and becoming Thor and choosing, like, I'm gonna be Thor and fuck my cancer because people need help. And I can help people. I can help people in a way that Thor can't because I'm a human. I know how to think. Thor, all Thor can do is lift things and be strong and have all his godly power, but he can't exactly understand how humans work. But Jane can. And that's what made for great stories. You know, it was an idea like this is different. And they're not going to be forcing it down my throat that I have to do it exactly like this. And think of it like this: those stories that people usually hate, that no one agrees with, that everybody thinks are so terrible. Those are the ones that become the movies that make millions upon millions of dollars because those stories are something that people, other people can be like, I get it. This is cool. Love and Thunder now is going to have She Thor in it.
It's gonna be
It's going to be She
Jane,
Thor
right?
and Null. Yeah, it's going to be She Thor and Null. Freaking Into the Spider-Verse was Miles Morales the main character, you know?
And that's my wife's favorite Spider-Man
Yeah, that's,
is
I
that
mean,
movie.
Miles. Peter is my favorite Spider-Man by far. Peter Parker is my boy. He's been my boy. Like I remember as a little child, I looked up at Spider-Man one time and I saw like his thing at the parade. And from that moment, I just like this is my hero. Like this is who I want to be like when I grow up.
Yeah, he's
And
fantastic. But Miles is, he's
Miles is
great.
great.
He's
Because what
great.
Miles is the kid, like also I'm black and Puerto Rican. So for me, that's just seeing
Perfect.
Miles Morales like me. That's just someone
Perfect
like, oh, look, he's
fit,
like me. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that. People don't think like this is gonna be like a this is a moment of like political commentary, but don't I'm not a political scientist, so don't take my words with a grain of salt. Take them with a grain of salt. But
We're all gonna judge you.
I feel like growing up, there weren't many heroes that looked like me. You know, there aren't many heroes that looked like me that I could see myself. I love the heroes no matter what they looked like, you know, because most of the time I thought of them as comic book characters, you know, and like they had like their costumes on. So I could see like this character in a costume. Obviously, doesn't look like me. He has a costume on. But seeing someone like Miles Morales now, for my nieces and my nephews, it makes them ecstatic because it's like this superhero looks like me. I can look up at this person and see I have more in common with him than just his morals. I said someone that looks like this comes from the same community I come from.
And
They eat the same food as me. They talk the same way I do.
one of the things that a lot of people get really upset about when these characters get kind of like reinvented or the mantle gets passed from one to the other is they're kind of like, oh, this is all PC stuff. It's all, you know, it's all woke. And it's like, no, I mean, a lot of these characters, when they were originally written back in the day, you know, they a good chunk of them were written by Jewish writers who were all packed into like these tiny ass apartments, you know, scraping by, writing, you know, characters that they wanted to represent their ideas and looked like them or sounded like them or had the wit that they had or something. And that endured for a long time. But now you get a new generation of writers who are coming in and they're like, hey, they did it. Why can't I do it? It's not like this is some sort of, you know,
new thing. It's not
Twitter or Tumblr induced, you know, wokeism
and
shit.
And give me some, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it is.
Yeah. Sometimes
don't
it, like,
get me wrong.
You can
sometimes
tell the difference.
It absolutely is.
But
it's shoehorned.
Yeah. But the people in New York are a diverse melting
group
pot
of people,
it's
dude.
The
yeah.
melting pot, like going back to like our earliest days
back in the 60s, there weren't a bunch of people of different kinds of groups working at those literature places,
yeah,
where they were writing these characters, you know. There wasn't. Now there are, so people want to change things, you know, characters being gay or characters being of like different religion and stuff like that. Like, that's just the nature of the world. We have to remember that some of the greatest comic book stories written are the X-Men. And the X-Men have always been political commentaries.
Always.
They've never not been.
Yeah.
And those are some of the best stories in comic books. Mm-hmm. Like, without a doubt. People probably don't know about them because of the fact that they're much younger people that absorbed, they absorbed, like, movies. So they get their idea of characters because of movies. But if you can look at me and tell me that the whole entire God Loves Man Kills Run, one, isn't political, and two, isn't a beautiful story, then that's insane. That's crazy. Like, it's like, that story is phenomenal, and it's full of politics, you know. Even Spider-Man has politics in it, you know. Mm-hmm. It may not be absolutely, but there's social stuff in it too, where it goes the idea of like the person's I think it's the mega self or the altered self versus the regular self, where Peter has to deal with the consciousness of his freaking alter ego all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of psychological and freaking like mental effort for him to deal with the idea, like, am I going to be a hero at every moment? And I'm not going to be a hero every moment. And that has some sort of commentary to people that live lives where they have to split themselves up, like most young teenagers or young people, you know, amongst the lives they have to live with their family or live with other people. I just think that a lot of people don't, I think now the world's too ready to complain.
Yeah, about everything.
Stuff,
about everything.
Stuff in general. Opposed to just like letting live and be let people live and let live, you know. And it's like, if it's not good, it's not good. But don't complain about the, like, oh, this character wants to be defined as this. Hate them. It's like, well, why? Just read them first. And if you don't like them, just don't read it.
Yeah, then you don't have, like, to read it anymore. Like, it's, you know, judge it for the merits of its content. You know, not
like
some
this
identity,
like
stuff.
The Spider-Man run from 1960s. Is always going to be there if you love it, you know?
Yeah.
That'll never change.
It's always going to
be
there.
You always have that. So focus on that.
So before I grab this next question that we have, I do want to acknowledge Ryan Lucchese, because he is the one who initially asked the whole Thoughts of the Superior Spider-Man thing. And
oh, Ryan's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But I wanted to, you know, acknowledge him in there, because he also, you know, he was the first one to respond, so we want to get that in there. Someone else had a similar question. I'm not sure how to say this name, so I'll use the at tag here. At Phage 40 1983 says, how different is the Doc Ock from the comics and the movies? Like, how different are they?
Doc Ock in the comics is way more of an asshole.
Yeah.
Way more of a dickhead. Yeah. Doc Ock in the movies is, like, in a game, is kind of endearing.
Yeah, he's a more sympathetic individual. And
opposed to in the comics, he sucks, dude. Yeah. He's an asshole.
And in Spider-Man 2, they have that whole thing that Raimi drops in there where it's, like, a majority of his evil doing ways or whatever is coming from the influence of the, I think they have like independent AIs on the arms or whatever. Yeah. And it's the influence of the harness that drives him to do certain things. And so he's a much more sympathetic character. He's not the one coming up with these crazy ass schemes and everything. He's not even that much of a schemer in Spider-Man 2, to be honest with you. He's kind of like early Doc Ock, and that's the thing about Raimi that, you know, love it or hate it, Raimi his interpretation of every Spider-Man character is anchored firmly within the 60s and 70s, and it does not move very past that point. So Doc Ock doesn't get a chance to be a mastermind. He doesn't get to be the guy who starts the Sinister Six. He is essentially a superpowered bank robber and a crazy mad scientist
working
in a warehouse. You know, that's about it. That's all he gets to be, instead of being, you know, really showcasing his intelligence. So I would
say, you can very much so see that from his interactions in the, with like throughout the movie, you can kind of see like that's where he has it from, in the way Peter acts, because Peter's very simple in the Raimi movies. Not that there's anything exactly wrong with how more simplistic he was, but he's definitely not like, he's definitely not like a very in-depth Spider-Man like he is at times in the comics, you know?
Yeah.
Which there is nothing wrong with that. I'll always defend that, like, Peter doesn't have to be the most fucking like thought-provoking character, the deeper, but he is much deeper than the Toby Peter portrayed him in, you know, not that there's a super problem with it.
Mm-hmm. So kind of related to that question of like what the difference is and how we're getting these different depictions. This question from Tablet asks, what do you think puts Doc Ock on the same level as more readily apparent threats like the Rhino, Electro, or Sandman, when his power, you know, quote unquote, is fairly tame in comparison? And I think it's his intelligence.
His mind, in the comics. 100%.
And it has, and that's why I would say that that other question, you know, how different are they? They're very different, because in the movies, he's just another guy with, you know,
he's smart. He's a smart man.
Yeah, he's another guy with a quirk that Spider-Man eventually figures out. But in the comics, he's always keeping Spider-Man on his toes, because he's such an insanely intelligent dude.
He's always scheming. He's always up to something. Like, there's a Spider-Man comic, which one of my favorites, called I think it's One Moment in Time, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the One Moment in Time, or it's One Last Day? No. I forget what it is. I need to remember that. But there's a moment where Aunt May, people that don't know, Aunt May and Doc Octavius almost got married before.
Yeah, which is fucked.
That's real. So during that comic, there's a moment where during the Spider-Man run, Spider-Man's Aunt May gets married to Jenna Jameson's dad, J. Jonah Sr. So what happened is that they try to have a moment where Doc Ock like takes over the whole city, and he has all these like little androids like running around just causing mayhem in New York. And that is the kind of things that the Doc Ock goes to. Like, Doc Ock thinks big.
Yeah.
In a way that Peter isn't always ready for. Peter can combat his mentality of Doc Ock, but he's not always exactly ready to deal with like how macro scheme things are, because Peter's kind of he's a regular guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not ready to fight this dude that's trying to take over all New York City. He like infested every single sort of AI used thing in the city, and he started just making like all the fire hydrants go off and just pulling Peter every which way. And that's the kind of stuff that Doc Ock does, you know. He very much so has a big brain. And yeah. He thinks very, very big.
Because it's rewired for those extra appendages and stuff, he has a level of multitasking that is hard to beat in terms of like other villains. Because you get all kinds of villains who sit down and they'll scheme and come up with some crazy-ass shit. But Doc Ock can have that shit like unravel very quickly. He doesn't necessarily take years of planning. He's like, he sits down for a week and he's like, I got it. You know, I got it figure it out. We're gonna mess this place up, you know.
And I love that. That's what makes me adore Dr. Octopus.
Yeah,
because of how sharp of a tool he is.
Yeah. And I think the one of the things you mentioned earlier too, that's kind of overlooked, the metal that his arms are made with, basically inhibiting healing. Now, I don't know if people realize this, but Spider-Man has a minor healing factor. He heals faster than other people. It's not Wolverine level, but
it's no healing factor. Like it's not like Hulk or Wolverine or like Deadpool.
Yeah.
But like Peter, if he breaks his ribs, as you guys saw in the game, if he breaks his ribs, he can be back in the fight in like a day or two. He could be back on the horse, like trying to help out again.
Ribs are not a simple thing to heal, you know?
Not even slightly.
Yeah. So it's like
that's like a huge call to like how impressive of a character Peter Parker is. He's like very much so like always he gets beat down like really good. Like, and I remember in Spider-Verse, the thing is that like, and I took a few hits. And it just shows him getting, like, beat a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man has been beaten through the ringer. He's fought people he had. When Silver Surfer first came to Earth, everyone was fighting against him. And the only person that could dissuade him somewhat was Peter. Peter was just like, I know I can't beat you. Obviously, you are pretty much a god. Mm-hmm. But if I just let you wreak havoc, people are gonna die, and I can't let that happen.
Yeah, it's like I have to try.
You have to try, and that's why I think that's why that's another reason why I personally don't like the Raimi films, is because that moment where he throws his costume away, which happens in the comics, I'm aware it happens in the comics.
Yeah.
But the first time he sees someone down and out, he jumps out of being retired. The moment he sees someone go through some bullshit, he doesn't like eat a hot dog and watch the cops go by or like walk away from someone getting robbed. Like the moment he sees someone down and out, he's like, this is exactly why my grandfather died.
Yeah.
Or my uncle died.
Yeah.
If I don't help again, I am letting this happen.
Yeah. A lot of his bouncing back is his willpower, but he does have that little bit of healing. But when you get an enemy that jumps in there that's capable of bypassing your slight edge over them just by hitting you, you know, just like landing a hit on you. Oh, yeah, you're fucked now. Like, so it's like, that's a big deal. Like, you know, Electro can zap him. Sandman can stomp on him. Rhino can smack him around, but he's still going to come back with that healing. But if Doc Ock gets him, that healing is essentially negated until
the
story's done.
If Doc Ock really, really injures him, he's Peter's in a bad way.
Yeah.
Very bad way.
Yeah. So one of the questions we got here from Drunken Monkey, do you consider Doc Ock as Spider-Man's greatest villain or Green Goblin?
Oh, definitely Green Goblin, Doc Ock is definitely very much so an important villain for him as well.
I would say if you were to do like a tier list of Spider-Man villains of all the rogues gallery that he has, Doc Ock and Green Goblin occupy the top tier. You know,
is Doc Ock, Green Goblin, and Morlun for me?
Yeah, definitely. Oh man, Morlun, and I think it's because a lot of other villains can mess up Spider-Man, and they can give him a run for his money, give him a hard time, be the object of an entire story on their own. But there's only a few of those villains who get into Peter's personal life. And
like take it like too far.
Yeah,
that's the thing for me.
Just
like
fuck him in his soul. You know,
Morlun and like Doc Ock and freaking particularly Norman Osborn.
Yeah,
he's famous for going like way too far when dealing with Peter Parker. Like where he like air quotes don't know if we killed his girlfriend. And then, like, Doc Ock, like, always trying to fuck Aunt May.
Anyone who's trying to bone Aunt May is in a class of their own with only, like, a few other people to stand there with them. And
Morlun just doesn't stop.
Yeah, like, Morlun is like unstoppable. Like, the thing that I find most terrifying about Morlun is that he doesn't see... He doesn't see the Marvel universe in terms of like heroes and villains. He sees them as
food.
food, pray,
just food.
You know, like, oh, yeah, but also he's like, he doesn't care that this guy is wearing a spider costume. He does not give a shit. He's Spider-Man. I don't care. That's food. So there's never a point where he's like, oh, I fought Spider-Man. And then I found out he's Peter, or, you know, oh, you know, who is this Spider-Man dude or anything like that. It's just, he is always Peter and Spider-Man at the same time. He's always just spider food.
He never allows him to have moments where he's just like, not, like, the, like they're the best moment for Merloon for me was the moment where Peter and Merloon were fighting in Manhattan. It's right before Peter Parker like got sent to the hospital. He almost died.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like going back and forth trading blows, and Merloon ripped Peter's eye out. Like, Peter just got him to the floor and is like pummeling him. Yeah. And Merloon just ripped his eye out. And Peter was like, he did not just do that. I can't, no, there's no way he just ripped my fucking eye out.
Yeah, he messes him up. And didn't he like and then the thing eat is it that or some shit?
Doesn't respect him enough to kill him there. He just leaves him. He's like, eh, whatever. Yeah. You suck. And he just leaves him there. Like, that Merloon's as a character is what, like, before they made all the extra unnecessary freaking Spider movies where you're like, oh, Spider-Geddon and Spider this and Spider-Verse 1 and 2. Like, I think Merloon was such a cool villain.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was just someone that would just wanted to murder Peter Parker. That's it.
I had been out of reading Spider-Man comics for a while because I've been out of reading comics in general for a while. And then when I got into it, I happened to get back into it when Moreland first showed up. It was right at the beginning of Straczynski's first run introducing.
I love it. Oh my God.
I was so lucky to come in at that time because it was so good. But yeah, I think Green Goblin and Doc Ock are in a similar class, but if we're saying like who's the greater villain of the two, I think I got to go with Green Goblin as well, just because of all the sheer multitude of fucked shit that he has done to Peter. Like,
I would give it to Goblin too. Goblin is he's a dick.
Yeah,
he's a fucking asshole.
And the last question I think we can go out on, because this one's a little more lighthearted, also comes from Drunken Monkey, which is, what is the best Sinister Six roster?
Oh, I go over it easily. The best Sinister Six roster is actually the one from the video game, I'd go as far to say. I like the idea of Martin Lee being on that team.
Yeah?
So I would go Mr. Negative, Shocker, or Mr. Negative, Electro, Rhino, Vulture, Doc Ock, and who was the last one? There was someone else, wasn't there? I said Vulture, right? I said Electro. Yeah. I said
the thing with Sinister Six is I always get to like the last person and I'm like, wait, what did I already say?
I'm living that exact thing right now.
Like, what did I already say? Dude, I already said this guy. The Sinister Six has had a lot of different. I think they're all pretty decent, but I can tell you which ones I think are the dumbest. So there's one where Venom is part of the Sinister Six, and for me, I've always hated that because tonally it doesn't work for me, because most of the people in the Sinister Six are people that Venom would munch on if he had a chance.
Yeah, Venom's too. I consider Venom way too strong to be on that team.
Yeah. He's putting him in the Sinister Six. Yeah, he's too strong. And he also just, like, even though he messes with Spider-Man on that personal level that we were talking about, he doesn't like most of the villains. It's not like he's like, yo, I'm going to hang out with Doc Ock. Venom would fuck up Doc Ock at a moment's notice if he had a chance.
Especially, like, 90s Venom.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, 90s Venom.
I'm going to kill you.
Mess you up. You know, it's so I never liked Venom in the Sinister Six. And then there's another villain. He's an old school villain called the Beetle.
Oh my God. Do I know who the Beetle? I think I know who the Beetle is. Is he like a ridiculous character?
Yeah,
like a very ridiculous character.
He's kind of goofy. He was another one of those like tech villains, and for a while they were trying to like say he was like on the same level as Doc Ock, and it never took. Like, I never feel like the Beetle really caught on. But they keep trying, like in some of the older comics from like the 70s and shit, they keep bringing the Beetle back. And then he's like in the Sinister Six. And I'm like, dude, no one wants the Beetle. It's like playing Oddball in Halo. No one actually wants this. Why is this here?
Like, I get you. I get exactly what you mean. Like,
no one actually wants this. It's like, you can't make the Beetle work. I think the Shocker is a great mainstay of the Sinister Six, because the Shocker, like the
Shocker there?
I like him for his motivation, not necessarily like, oh, he earned his place. Like, his motivation, he's always getting waffle stomped by Spider-Man every time. So if someone comes to him and is like, hey man, we're forming a team to go mess up Spider-Man, the Shocker's like, I'm in. I don't even care what the plan is. I don't care what we're doing. I'm in. I'm so down with this.
I'm in. Fuck that guy. He's a jerk.
Yeah. I think Shocker's a good member of the team, even if he's not, like, a great, you know, villain. I think he belongs on that team, because the team should be people who are, like, this is not just a team of villains who are, like, oh, we're trying to accomplish this lofty goal. You form the Sinister Six to kill Spider-Man. Like, it doesn't have another goal.
That's the motive, you know, that's what you go there for. Mm-hmm. We're here to kill him.
Yeah, Electro is a good one on there. I always like Electro on there. Vulture, I feel like, has been in most iterations of the Sinister Six. Doc Ock is their leader. Vulture fits there. Are we saying that Green Goblin Sinister Six? Because I feel like Green Goblin tends to clash with Ock.
He has been a part of the Sinister Six before.
Yeah,
I would say.
I'm really interested to see how Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin plays with Molina's Doc Ock in the movie. I'm really interested.
They know each other, right? If I'm not mistaken. Wouldn't they know one another?
They're from the same universe, but I don't know if they knew each other, because supposedly Green Goblin was dead before, you know, Spider-Man 2. So they both the same Spider-Man. So it's like, I kind of wondering, like, but then also the Sandman is from that universe too. You got three Raimi villains.
That's true as well. That's also another fact.
You got three Raimi villains. You got one from the Andrew Garfield one. That's Electro. You got four there. The Lizard is another Andrew Garfield one. He's in it too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in there. All right, so you got two Andrew Garfield ones, two Tobey Maguire ones, or three Tobey Maguire ones. And so the last one is got to be, who's the last one?
Who else is another villain? I'm so stumped by this. This is annoying me.
Who is the next one in the movie? I know that they must have shown it. Green Goblin, Doc Ock.
I don't think there's particularly Sandman. Six in a movie, I'd go as far to say.
Yeah, because you still have the Vulture, who's cool as shit in the new MCU. I love Michael Keaton.
I think it's that guy. That's why. He's like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah. There is a Shocker that is still around. Mysterio's gone. Well, supposedly he's gone. He's Mysterio. Anything could fucking happen with that guy. He's been in the Sinister Six in the comics too. Chameleon has been in the Sinister Six in the comics. But I can't think of who else we got. Who was we had Mysterio and Vulture. And yeah, I don't know who the sixth guy, because we've got five members of a Sinister Six in this movie.
Yeah. I don't think that's the idea for this one. I think it's just like, oh, these are just Spider-Man bad guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're trying to go exactly for Sinister Six right now.
Yeah. Unless they're going to pull a fast one on us. They might. They might pull a fast one on us. But at any rate,
I think that'll about do it.
Yeah, I think that'll about do it. This is our last show for 20, what year are we in? 2021? Fuck. This is our last
Yeah.
show for 2021. We are going to be coming back in 2022 for episode 10, which I'm excited for because when we first started this off, I had no idea that we were going to be able to get that far, you know? And I love doing this. I'm excited to keep doing it. I like just being able to talk about nerd shit and then like record it and just send it out, you know? I like having that kind of format, you know? I think going forward in the future, I can't think of anything that we're going to change, but I have been curious because I've, you know, we have an audio only format. You know, we don't have a video component. I don't know if people who have been listening would prefer to have a video component where we can, you know, they can see our expressions or, you know, what we're doing. I would like to know in the comments if people are still here at the end of the episode. You know, I'd like to know that. I'd also like to know, you know, any of the thoughts you guys have about the Sinister Six. By the time that this comes out, people are gonna already be seeing Spider-Man No Way Home. But you know, keep in mind we did this purposely before No Way Home, so that we didn't, you know, get into a big No Way Home tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah, because once that movie comes out, that we're gonna be talking about that for a long time. Like, if we come back in January or February, we're still gonna be on No Way Home. There's
Yeah.
no way that's not gonna be true. So, that being said, I mean, you know, take us out, Sween.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to yet another episode. We appreciate it. And yeah, I really want to give a shout out to a good friend, Ryan Lucchesi. Thank you for the questions. Much appreciated, bud. And other than that, guys, we will be seeing you all next year. Take care and stay safe.
See you later.